Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion John Chung, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history, one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Well, hello, everyone. Here it is again, the Wolverine filling in for Professor Gary Lee. He is recovering and doing better every day. And we'd just like to ask you, as always, to keep him in your prayers and your thoughts. And if the GoFundMes are there, still hit them up, because it does take a lot of hard work and a lot of money to keep up the medications and things of that nature for what, you know, for the stroke. So we ask you to keep up with that. And at this time, I'd like to bring in Mr. Bowen and let him tell us about what we got going on today. Mr. Bowen,
hey,
you there, sir?
How are you doing?
Doing good. Telling you earlier, I got a new service dog, and he was trying to eat my leg up while I was trying to talk. So I had to put him up, because couldn't be dealing with that.
Man's best friend. Well, you know, we have a lot of really positive things going on. And again, you know, we really want to thank all of our alumni and everyone from the past to present. This year we did a special honor to our martial artists with over 50 years in the martial arts as a part of our event this year. And as we're moving forward, we got a lot of great things going on. We got book signings all across the country happening. People are telling their stories, and we're getting really excited about 2020. And because we're going to be releasing the kids' book this year, and we're going to be announcing the next week, you know, where that's going to be released. But we're going to be doing a star search and looking for karate kids all over the country that are not just tournament competitors. We're looking for the great kids that martial arts is making an impact in their lives. And we want to give them their shout out and their recognition, because, you know, many years ago when we had Karate Illustrated and other magazine, they had the ratings for the adults, the kids, and all these things was going on. And we really don't know who the kids are of today that are the performers. So we have a lot of that kind of great information happening. We have now developed, and we have a special marketing program for inductees or for anyone that would like to have someone produce their press release to help them with their social media. So we've started a special division within the AMAA to be able to help individuals to market and brand themselves. So do be looking out for events all over the country where myself personally may not be there, but the inductees and our alumni, they are hosting their own book signing. So we have a lot of excitement going on with that. We have some really great things to announce in the future that we're going to be working on and that we're doing for Empowering the Martial Arts. Coming up in April, we're going to be in Chicago. We're going to be launching our Emerging Leaders program. This is a special program recognizing martial arts school owners, providing information to help them to be able to continue not only to grow their business, but having that pride in their business that they want to be successful. So we have a lot of very motivating programs and things that's going to be happening coming up. So everyone, stay tuned. And I know tonight, you know, you have one of our board of advisor members, one of our alumni, and a good friend of the organization, Grandmaster Dennis Brown, coming on tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be a great show. He's an amazing individual. So yeah, that's going to be a good show tonight. All right.
Sorry,
well,
no, that's it for me. And looking, just get ready, because I'm going to be sitting back and listening for the words of wisdom of the great Grandmaster Dennis Brown.
Okay.
I know you guys sounds hear good. Me, but I'm listening to you.
Yeah, we hear you, sir. We hear you, sir.
I just want
before
I just
we bring on our guest. Yeah, yeah. Before we bring on our next guest, Mr. Brown, let me run through what we have coming up with the Sport Museum. So, September, the Living Legend Celebrity Roast of none other than Professor Gary Lee. Okay, that will be September 27th and 28th in the Hilton Galleria in Houston, Texas. And that will be where the COD Awards takes place. Now, COD Awards, you have to win at least 100 first place to be invited to be in there. So that will be taking place. Not only that, the Kevin Funakoshi Traditional Challenge, where if you're a Shotokan practitioner, Shotoru, Kyokushin, Wataru, Goju-ru, Shorin-ru, you can be competing in your collective style, win that, then they'll compete down for one overall winner. Not only that, they'll be doing the Kabuto competition with the traditional weapons on Friday night. The same thing to compete down. Then the two winners of those will compete against the people that compete in COD Awards to go up the number one and two seed in COD Awards. They'll be take those first four from the daytime, and then they'll run them all together. So it's going to be a big division. It'll be a great division. It's going to be a lot of good stuff. Okay, also there, they will be having the Ohana Open. And the Hana Open is going to have, like I say, weapons competition, sparring, katas, forearms, all the stuff that you have at a regular tournament. And that's going to be for the kids and adults alike to bring your schools out to that. Also, we'll be having the Bubble Kumite. And the kids will be loving that. And Mr. Billy Smith will be running that. The Gentle Giant, he will be running that, and he keeps those kids. He's got as much energy as they do. So that will be fun for those kids, and they'll be having a great, great time. Okay, also, right after that, Professor Gary Lee is going to turn around. They're going to have a double whammy in Sam's Town Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada. They will have the roast for John Natividad, the Giant Killer. And Mr. Natividad, he's an awesome individual. We'll be there holding the roast for him. There'll also be the Sport Museum displays at both locations. We'll be giving out the Joe Louis Double Image Fighting Award and all kinds of great stuff. There'll be seminars at both. So it's going to be a fun-filled, packed weekend for both places. And you will have a great time. Trust me, that is something that you will make sure that you definitely want to be a part of. And I know Professor Gary Lee is going to kill me, but I just lost the number to call in. But anyway, if you'll go on Facebook to Professor Gary Lee's page, look at Professor Gary Lee's page. It will give you the number to call in and reserve your tickets and get your rooms, because rooms are going fast and seats are going fast. So you need to call in and get that as soon as possible, and he can take care of you for both events. Calling into that one number, him or his lovely wife, Tammy, will get you going and take care of that. But please just go to Professor Gary Lee's page or the Sport Museum page, look at that, get those numbers, call in, and get your reservations and your rooms booked for that, because it's going to be a great, great time. So our next guest. Very excited to bring this man on. I get to see him just about, well, at least once or twice a month, depending on how the competitions go. But he's always a great guy, always just makes you feel good to be around him. Not only an amazing promoter, but an amazing martial artist and competitor, on the covers of all kinds of magazines. And his name is Mr. Dennis Brown. Mr. Brown, are you there, sir?
How you doing there, my friend? That was quite an
introduction. Doing good, sir.
Doing good.
Awesome. Well, I know that I've been training hard and working hard. I do have an injury, but I'm not going to let that stop me, because, you know how competitive NASCAR is. And you know that if they thought I was going to be out, man, they'd be doing cutting the jig. So I can't be having people dance. I will be doing the flat footing if any flat footing is going to be going on, because I'm, you know, so we'll be doing that.
I know you'll be doing
I got it. Keep at it. Did you get to see the cotton-eyed bow at the Battle of Atlanta? I don't know if you got the. I did the bow and did a little flat footing at the same time. It really caused the uproar. So.
I can imagine. I know that division has gotten to be one of the most entertaining divisions in sports karate. All of a sudden,
you're doing good when the other players start saying it's not fair for him to compete. Just let him do that on stage at the nighttime finals for a show. I'm like, what? I'm getting some points out of this. What are you talking about? You know.
Hey.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Always a big competition, always a competitor. But yeah, you know, it is great to see the guys coming out, especially the old timers that still have the traditional movements and all like that, and they get a chance to see. Hey, we can put on a show too if that's necessary. So it's all in fun and it's all good karate.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is, and that's great. And, I mean, you know, and it is good to see, you know, and like you and I had talked about earlier today, you know, it's great to see the kids and what they're doing. And what's crazy is that these kids, their instructors, the most part, are older people that came up the hard way now, you know, and come up with traditional martial arts and traditional weapons and things of that nature. And sparring was different, weapons competition was different, kata was different. But, you know, as I have and you have and others, we adapt and we're able to train our students even to compete with the new way that they're doing it, because martial arts is evolving. And people are realizing what the human body is actually capable of. I mean, you know, and like you and I had talked about earlier today, these kids do things that you wouldn't think would be physically possible for the human body to be able to do, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it is crazy, you know.
I believe they can fly.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, you know, everybody loves gymnastics. They got a 42x42 padded spring floor. Well, they will run approximately 20 feet before they high hurdle and go into their tumbling pass. These martial artists are in a 20x20 ring that's got a 3/4 to 7/8 inch pad on the floor, on a cement floor, so there's not springy, and they will go to cutting four flips and, you know, in that little area, and then just, I mean, they're just all over the place, like a crazy ball or something, and with their weapons and all, and it's crazy.
Yeah, they've taken it to a whole nother level. But you know one thing that if you look really close, there was a point where they thought, well, you know, we were the old traditionalists, and we had the serious traditional martial arts, and now these young guys, all they can do is the extreme and the creative and the musical and all like that. But you know, we're forgetting that a lot of these guys, most of them, also have serious backgrounds in traditional martial arts. They can enter all of it. More and more as it's evolved, we thought that there was the traditionalists and they're going to win all of that. And now you have these extreme guys. But if you look real close and ask what has happened the last couple of years, some of the guys that were doing the musical and the extreme and was doing the 360s and the aerials are now also winning traditional forms, both boys and girls, men and women. And they started to realize a good athlete is a good athlete. I look at the Presley boys. Those guys out there doing the bows and they're flying and that and Jackson Rudolph and those guys, the ones we look at as, well, these guys are the epitome of tricking and creative forms. But now they're coming back and executing traditional weapons and traditional forms, and you're going, well, wait. These guys can do traditional, and you forget that they probably were taught by traditionalists and got a black belt before they went into this. They didn't start as white belts and flipping and tricking. So that's making it more
right.
acceptable because you start to realize, well, wait a minute, they're not gymnasts with bows in their hands. They're actually real karateka, that's real martial artists, they're real kung fu stylists.
Right, because it's just like in the adult division. I mean, now, you know, I compete in traditional kata, traditional weapons, and the, you know, creative. Because, you know, it's fun and you get to do it. And then also in the musical, I think probably NASCAR would probably do good to start a 50-plus musical because most of the people that are in the 30-plus musical are over 50.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So I think they would probably have more 50-plus come out and get in that musical division and let the 40-plus compete with the 30-plus and then have a 50-plus musical. They would probably have even more people start signing up in the 50-plus musical because, you know, a lot of the 50-plus guys, they just don't want to do it because they're like, oh, I got to go compete against a 30-year-old who's going to be cutting flips and I can't cut a flip. So a lot of them get
yeah.
kind of bummed out and don't do it. But I think if they thought, you know, that their chances were better, that they could get in there and have some fun. And that's the only reason I started doing the musical divisions because I was like, okay, that looks like fun. I just want to do it for fun and a warm-up, you know, to get going for the rest of my katas and to set the pace for the rest of the day. So, you know,
right,
I kept
right.
watching them guys. And then the last competition, I think we was in Philadelphia, I was like, you know, I'm going to jump in there with you guys. And one of the guys said, well, you know, you want to get a beat down, go ahead and jump in there. So I was like, you know what? There's nothing more that I love than a good beatdown. So I jumped in there in Atlanta and won the divisions. And so I decided, you know what, I think I'll just hang out here a while and just see what I can do in this division because, you know, I like it. It's a fun thing, and there's a lot of good guys in there, and it just helps your game. You know, it helps keep you thinking, helps keep you on your toes, you know.
Well, you know, people
like
forget that's how it started. If you go all the way back, and I go way back, you remember there was Joyce Chung and John Chung and Cynthia Rothrock, and they were all really strong traditional martial artists. Their kicks, their stances were just amazing. John Dufresne, these guys had amazing stance, amazing kicks, but they started adding music, and they started adding a few more jumps and more aerials and turned it into entertaining, entertainment-type contents. But nobody would look at those guys today and say, well, they didn't have good traditional basic technique. Their basics were clean and entertaining. So it's not always surprising when you see the guys that you thought were all just extremists and musical and tricky, and all of a sudden they come back and they can do those forms. It's now I see it flipping the other way. You saw the seniors come out, and you thought, well, of course, those guys can only do traditional. And now they're a little surprised because they're finding out these guys can also add music, and they can make it entertainment. They can add stuff to it. So I think martial arts is martial arts, and we've just evolved into being able to do it from a lot of different angles.
Right, right. Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. Well, right and quick, let's start talking about you and the first question I got is who did you start training martial arts under?
You know, that's a good question. Everybody will tell you that I probably started with Willie Lin, who I consider my instructor. He was a kung fu stylist that came to America in 1970, and I trained with him from that point until now. But the truth is that Grandmaster Jun Ri was fond of reminding people that the only reason Dennis Brown's kung fu is any good because I taught him how to kick properly when he was studying Taekwondo with me. I was one of the first students with Grandmaster Jun Ri, and people don't know that. He gave me an honorary black belt because of that. I was in one of his first schools and came up with Mike Coles. I was in school with Jeff Smith and Jimmy Ri and all of those people there. And they said, oh, so you started with Jun Ri. But not really, because before then, I was at Howard University, and there was a Dr. Yang at Howard University, which a lot of the Taekwondo stylists know about back in 1964 and 65. And I actually studied with him when I was at Howard University, but there was the Kung Fu Joe, the guys that I used to drive back and forth to New York, watch Kung Fu movies, and come back and train in the park. So all through that whole decade, I went from Dr. Yang to just studying with guys in the parks doing Kung Fu to Grandmaster Jun Ri, and finally I ended up with the instructor I would be with for the next, I guess, 45 years or so, Grandmaster Willie Lin. So I don't know where he started. I think I was born with it.
Right. Well, you're amazing at it. So what we'll go next then is, when did you start? What time period did you get started in the martial art?
Well, in the early 60s, I think in 1964, I saw my first karate and started training with a group of guys on a military drill team I was on, and they introduced me to it. And from then on, I just wanted to study martial arts. The first formal school that I went to was probably Grandmaster Jun Ri's school down on 20th and L. And folks that are traditional to Jun Ri know that was the school, 20th and L Street, everybody down in the basement, and we all got started there. But if you ask me, well, what style are you? I always tell people I'm a Kung Fu stylist, because from 65 on, I was always training in Kung Fu, and I went in and out of other styles, because I believe that if you are going to be a martial artist, you want to understand as many styles as you can, and if nothing else, to make you appreciate what you're doing and making sure that this is what you want to do. So I'm a student
right.
of martial arts, I like to think, more than anything. And you have people that say, well, but he was a weapons guy. So, well, yeah, if you knew me in the 80s, and late 70s, you'll say that's all he did was that rope guard. People say he did rope guard. He was the first guy to bring it from China. Other guys said, nah, that guy was a kata guy. I remember with Cynthia Rothrock and George and Peter Morales, those guys are all out there at the Battle of Atlanta doing forms. But if you talk to guys that are early on, they said, no, I remember fighting him in Chinatown with Pat, with some of the guys up there in the full contact fights. And I go, the truth, guys, that I did a little bit of all of it, but never all at the same time. Yeah, I went through phases of just nothing but fighting, that was all in Chinatown and doing the continuous and fights and those type things and the arenas. Paul Vizio, I fought him. That was my most famous fight. I remember, and that kind of made my fighting career for the martial artist, the Chinese stylist. But then when I got on the open circuit, you knew Kung Fu stylists didn't do point karate at all. So we got out there and couldn't do point karate because we had always been doing continuous or contact. And so I went on and started
right.
doing the form weapons and that type thing. So I like the sport. I think I evolved from fighting to forms to weapons to promoter. And that
right.
kind of was my career.
Right. And I know what you're talking about because Grandmaster Ronquillo taught me the screamer and that things of that nature, but his son was young, and I would take him to some of the sport karate competitions to do point fighting, and he didn't have good English, so he'd get very confused. They would go in to throw their technique, and he would do a cross leg foot block and catch their foot as they was going up to throw their kick and stop it low, you know, and then bring your hands
yeah.
down and hit them. And then the judge would be like, no, that's a low kick. And I was like, he's not low kicking. He's stopping his kick before he gets it up
yeah.
off of the ground, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've
yeah.
seen it, it was awesome to watch because he had that strong kung fu. But
mm-hmm.
as far as point fighting, it got him a lot of fouls. So it was something that was very frustrating for him to try to pick up because, you know, he was always trying to block those legs with his feet, you know, as they would come up to throw those kicks. So yeah, I can see
hey,
where that would be.
If my guys would go to Baltimore and be fighting in traditional karate tournaments, and most of the time we were the only kung fu guys there, to be honest with you. But we didn't understand if a guy threw a round kick to my head, I couldn't drop all the way to the ground and do an arm broom sweep and take the standing leg out until you see him bust
right.
his head on the ground. And there were no mats then. You remember there were no mats.
Yeah, no mats.
With a wooden floor or even a cement floor, you were busting people up, and folks would be saying, okay, you can't drop down and take the standing leg, and you can't take, but you know, that was what we kind of did. We did all of those kicks they were low kicks to the legs and trap kicks. And so you had to almost, people didn't believe, but you had to almost learn how to do point fighting if you came from certain backgrounds. You had to learn that, and that's a skill in itself. So, again,
right.
I didn't start with point fighting. When I finally started going to fighting tournaments, I just went on and stuck with, like a lot of Kung Fu guys, just forming weapons. But we would fight in the continuous and the sanda type,
right.
type rings, and that was good for us.
Right,
but you know,
yeah,
really
and I'll tell you, you know, fighting is one thing, and it's hard, but you know, I've been a fighter my whole life, is what I've mainly done up until I got diagnosed with diabetes. But the katas to me is way harder because you're under a microscope, and you really
yeah.
have to focus, and you really have to be on point. Where, you know, if you're fighting and you're strong, if you're fast and you got some good skills, you know, you can get in there and mix it up, and you know, it's not that big a deal. But you know, if you throw a sloppy technique one time, it might get a point the other way. But you know, it's not like
yeah.
the kata stuff. You really have to work hard, keeping
yeah.
everything in line with that. You know,
your basics had to be
so.
Clean. And you know, one of the things about that was the right reason when I started with NASCA. I was one of the founding members of NASCA when they kicked it off. In fact, when I joined NASCA, and my tournament became a part of NASCA, it wasn't even called NASCA. It was called the Karate Illustrated A Circuit. Do you remember Karate Illustrated?
Right,
the government
right,
ran
yep.
all of the tournaments back then. And for 2 years, I was just under that, and then we got together and formed the NASCA. And I ran just
yep.
a straight NASCA tournament for years until it got the capital class got fairly large, and then all my Kung Fu buddies came over and said, you know, why didn't you start a Kung Fu tournament and grow that? Why did you go over into point karate and dominate a karate tournament and build this big tournament? And I didn't have a really good answer other than I just assumed you guys would do what I did and just adapt to the karate. But at the behest of Tiger Claw, GGO, I started something connected to it, and I'm the only one, I guess, to this time that has the tournament. The U.S. Capital Classics is a all NASCA tournament, all NASCA divisions and rules. But I've always, for the last 15 years, had the China Open as a part of that tournament. And over there, I still have Wushu divisions and Kung Fu divisions and Wing Chun divisions and Tai Chi divisions and continuous
right.
Fighting like they do. I have Sanda from the stage, you know, platform fighting and weapons
right.
fighting and along with grappling. So I took the other road with the Capital Classic. When people come, they'll see 20, 25, 30 rings of traditional martial arts tournament, open, what we call sports martial arts, but they can look right across at another 10 or 15 rings where they're doing all of the things that you would see, that you wouldn't see at most NASCA tournaments, because I'm the Kung Fu promoter and I have
right.
Wushu divisions and all like that. Not to say we don't have it in NASCA, but I was able to break the Chinese divisions down into more divisions, because it's not uncommon in NASCA to have Chinese divisions, and you could have traditional Kung Fu in a ring with Wushu in a ring with Tai Chi, and it's all Chinese. They have to compete because it's a Chinese division. But you and I both know that Wushu
right.
to traditional Kung Fu is like comparing extreme martial arts with all the jumps and flips and all that stuff to a traditional kata, or
right.
and both of those to yoga, and is a
right.
meditation, and say, well, they all come from the same place. Just put them all in one division. But how do you do
yeah.
that? So I'm able to have all of those separated because I have that China Open division over there. So that was why I started that. And even the fighting style, I couldn't get my Kung Fu guys to switch over and learn how to do point fighting. So I, years before NASCA started doing the continuous fighting, I have always had continuous fighting because that was the only way I could get the Chinese stylists to come in.
Right. And I was just explaining that to my students tonight, that when they go to your tournament, they're going to see a variety of stuff. And some of them was like, well, man, I just really need to check my funds because I want to sign up for so much because there's so much to do. So I was like, yeah, you're just going to have to figure it out. I said, it's like four tournaments inside of one tournament. I said, okay, he's got the NASCA tournament that'll be running and it'll be the guidelines for everything, the ruling and stuff. I said, but inside of that, there's going to be the China Open and all those mm-hmm. divisions. And then inside of that, there'll be what is technically the U.S. Capital Classic, the non-NASCA stuff. And then on
right.
top of that, there'll be the Waco tournament with the
yeah,
kickboxing
right.
and Sanda and Muay Thai and Jiu-Jitsu. I said, so it's kind of like four tournaments inside of one tournament, but he only uses two names because putting four names on it would just be too long. So it's kind of like, I said, so you're going to see a lot of stuff and be able to do a lot of stuff. And I said, and
yeah.
where he has it is one of the most beautiful places. You know, we always look forward to it just, you know, because of the place where it's at, you know, and it's a good military area. They really honor, you know, veterans outside and around in the parks and different things. But, you know, there's just so much to see, you know, little places
yeah.
to walk, to eat. And then it just, you know, then the Gaylord itself, the hosting motel is just so great hotel because it's I mean, you know, when they fill that thing up at night with the fog and then they have a laser show, I mean, you know, it's just
oh, yeah.
it's just an awesome thing. And then you have your event going on at the same time. It's
yeah.
it's crazy. It's just an awesome weekend, you know.
Well, you know, it people
be a part
I tell
of.
People come for the tournament but stay for the vacation because it's the newest of the five, I believe five Gaylord hotels. It's the newest one they built, and they built it right there on the water at the National Harbor, which is, again,
yeah.
a beautiful, beautiful structure with all kinds of stuff. But the National Harbor itself has at least seven hotels there, and just so many places within a one- or two-block walk. There's so many places you can eat and so many types of shows and clubs and all like that. But if you just want I tell folks that, they have the big Ferris wheel outside the window. They have fireworks going on every Saturday night. Just so much stuff for people to do. But you can actually, because it's at a National Harbor, a lot of people have been there a couple of times. They don't know that you can go down to the end of the harbor and book not a water taxi. They have a boat that will take you from the harbor there in the National Harbor down past Watergate Hotel. It'll take you down into Old Town Alexandria and into downtown Georgetown, D.C. You can get off there and go in town, and believe it or not, you can see everything. You're talking about veterans. I mean, we got Iwo Jima there, but, of course, we got the Pentagon, and we got the Vietnam Memorial, the World War II Memorial. You name it, everything that you can think of for veterans is there. You can go to the wall and all like that. But or you can just walking, still just walking, on the mall there, you can go to maybe 30 or 40 different Smithsonian museums. And the beauty of it, I hate to say this, because it's all free. It's a different type of vacation that you can take while you're there because all of those
yeah.
things that you can go to. And I joked with you the other day when I joked, he said, it's not really free because our tax money pays for this city. So you kind of pay for it. So you might as well go down there and take advantage and see all of it. And while you're here,
yeah.
go by the White House, at least wave when you go by. You know the story.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, you know, people need to go in to the Iwo Jima building and watch that. I don't know if you've been in there and seen that 3D surround. They put the video, it surrounds you all the way around the room, and then it's
right,
like
right.
a virtual thing, and you feel the water and the smoke, and it's like you're really there, but when you see what those American Marines did, and as you know, I'm a big
yeah.
veteran advocate and all, but as you, when you see what those Marines did hitting that beach, with the courage
yeah.
that it must have had for those doors to let down, and all of a sudden there's 50 cal rounds zipping through the people in front of you, and you still have the courage to wade through a sea of bodies and still make it to the beach. It's simply amazing
yeah.
to see what kind of human beings those men and women were of that era, because they definitely were some of the toughest, not just physically, but mentally people
yeah.
that they had to be. I mean, it's just crazy. That thing will blow your mind.
You're exactly right. I mean, you could come and spend 2 days just going through all the museums, not the museums, but the tributes. Because if you haven't gone by the Vietnam Memorial, and you can walk within a couple blocks and the World War II Memorial. I mean, I can't just keep going on and on and on with all the stuff that you could see, but it's a moving thing. And again, a lot of people just like to come see the museums with the dinosaurs and the planes and all those things.
Yeah.
But all that's good. I mean, it's all just great, and it's all you can stand at the Jefferson Memorial and or the Lincoln Memorial, look all the way down to the Capitol, and walk from one end to the other without ever leaving the park. I mean, again, if you've come to the city 4 or 5 times to come to my tournament, and you've never taken, stayed a couple extra days to go down and see what I want to call, and I grew up here, but I'll say it's our city, because it belongs to the whole country. I mean, every memorial, every monument, it represents something that you need to take some time and walk through and actually see what happened. So, again, come for the tournament. I always say that. But stay over to see your city and enjoy downtown, Georgetown, and all of those things. And you know what? Then get back on the boat and take a slow ride right back to the hotel and get off at the dock and walk in and right down to National Harbor. So we hope everybody will take all that. And you know what? We're finishing the tournament early now with the help of this new Juventus thing that we're using. Tournament we start on Friday, and you didn't finish till 9 or 10 at night. We're starting at 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning on Friday, and we're done by 3. We're finishing up the nighttime finals by 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, in time for you to still go out and have a night out, and then get up Sunday and go down and see you and see your city. So again, we're going to make that pitch because I'm from Washington D.C. and I'm real proud of the city here and the things that they built. And the tributes, because it's a city of memorials. And again, and take the time to walk through through the grave sites down there of all the men down there at the cemeteries down there, right by the Pentagon.
You know, I think that every American should do that. You know, because I think that it would show everyone that it takes all of us. United as one to make things work. And that if people would go down and see all that, all the sacrifice that has been taking place. Now, you know, no country's perfect, but as far as countries goes, this country for other countries, people don't realize how made they have it. And if they would look at the sacrifices made by men and women that they didn't care, it was American. And that's what people in America have to understand first, is we come together as Americans first. And, you know, we do the No Room for Racism thing, and me and you've talked about that, and we pass out some shirts at your event every year with the No Room for Racism, because we're
that's
all
right.
Americans, you know. And that's what people need to understand, you know.
But you know what? You know what? Look at martial arts. We have always been like this in martial arts. Martial arts is the true melting pot, isn't it? I mean,
it is.
Korean, Chinese, black, white, I don't care what you were. When you stepped in those four lines, in those four corners, it was just about what you could do. And so I think about some of the best friends I've ever met have been martial artists. Some of the nicest people I've ever met have been martial artists. And once you get into this and you start training and understanding people and peoples and customs, and it's kind of hard to not put all that stuff aside and say, come on out and enjoy the martial arts. It's a true a melting pot of styles and systems and people and beliefs and all types of things. And I think that's why it has become so successful. I mean, you go into people's schools and everybody leaves all the crazy stuff. Plus, you know what? I'm in Washington, D.C., so we can't discuss politics in the gym because we have to spar in a few minutes.
Exactly. But you know what? The thing of this, sir, is that people in the martial arts come together and it don't matter. Everybody's there every weekend, just like you say. So, you know.
Yeah, we all rock it. We all rock and roll, and we're all fighters or forms of competitors. So we're still saying to folks, come on out and enjoy the tournament. I think we like to think it's one of the unique tournaments. We've been there since they built this brand new
Gaylord Hotel 10 years ago, and this is our 10th year there. And they just keep it keeps getting better and better. They keep adding, and we try to add something new all the time. So we have that masquerading, but recently we got picked up by the ISCA group. So, you know, we're getting a lot of international competitors coming in from a lot of different countries. And, again, that makes it a very interesting event also, because you got folks. And D.C. is an easy hub to fly into because we have the Ronald Reagan hotel and the Dulles not far away and the Baltimore. So there's three or four major airports that you can fly in. So that's been very helpful for us because it makes it very easy for everybody to get here. So on the international,
I will say that the tournament hotel and location is one of the best I've seen. I mean, it's very beautiful there. I mean, you know, it's just a great place, you know, a great place to go and be. I mean, the event, like you say, is run smooth. And then with the MyEventex, yeah, everything is moving out quick. And it's just, you know, it's just a great time. But like you say, you know, the martial arts is just a melting pot. And everybody's there. Nobody really cares. Everybody's there to do their thing. And we're there to compete against each other. But at the end of the day, everybody's standing around laughing, talking, and having a good time. You know, nobody's harboring hard feelings. They're going, man, I got to get back and work on this or work on that. Or, man, that worked out good this time, but I need to add this. You know? And I think go ahead. Go ahead, sir.
I'm going to tell you something. After the tournament's over, I'm going to ask you, you can tell me, do you go up to the 18th floor to the Pose nightclub up there?
No, sir, I haven't.
And you got to go up. Yeah, I didn't think you know. It's one of the nicest nightclubs that you'll ever see. Is in the top of the hotel, and a lot of people have been there 2 or 3 years, have never gone up there at night. Right after the tournament, if you're part of the tournament, you can go up there. It's one of the, you can walk outside around, you know, you're on like the 20th floor, overlooking downtown D.C. from the hotel, and the lights and the nightclub and just all the ambiance. It's one of the nicest clubs that you'll ever come into. It's called The Pose. So if you come before and you have never found your way, when the nighttime show's over, if you just went to bed or went out into the National Harbor, now that's beautiful also, not a nice club. You need to make it a point. I'm going to invite you to make it a point to go up to the 18th floor and check out that nightclub. You will party until it's one of the nicest parties you'll ever go to.
Yeah,
so,
like I said, I never knew that was up there. We always went out, you know, Saturday night out to the harbor and stuff like that, and then, you know, then pretty much go to bed. Yeah, I didn't even know there was something like that up there.
And I know Larry Conahan will get on me about this because, you know, he likes to go to the casinos. They just built about few years ago. They put in one of the most beautiful brand new MGM hotels in the country. You can walk to it from the Gaylord if you got a little energy. But if not, it runs up every 15 minutes. It runs a shuttle there. It's about 5 minutes away on the shuttle to one of the nicest gambling casinos, MGM, with shows and all that kind of stuff going on. And I sometimes neglect to talk about that because that's all right there in Prince George's County where I am. And they've brought in all of those things. And but again, if you like to gamble, it's one of the nicest MGMs. It's a brand new one. They just built it and has all the types of shows there, but some of the nicest parts of the casino that you'll ever see in shopping and all that type thing.
Man, that's awesome. So what you're basically saying is if we get to looking for Mr. Carnahan, we probably need to take a 15-minute shuttle ride.
Yeah, you probably want to go on over there to the MGM, and I'm not going to tell you what he plays, so you won't disturb him. Well, quite a few of the NASCAR promoters have found their way over there to the MGM, and I'm not mad at them because they have to pass a lot of really beautiful downtown clubs and areas and restaurants to get there, and all of it's a part of the experience there in the National Harbor. The brand new Tangaria mall there, it's one of those discount malls that, you know, one of the ones really nice name brand stuff there, but it's all set up for folks to shop, and it's the same thing. It's in walking distance or a short 5-minute shuttle right there. So again, we're really happy about it. We've been there the whole 10 years since they built it, and they've just confirmed that they've given us a contract for the next 10 years. So we're going to try to keep getting bigger and better and hope that you guys will come, everybody will come on out and make it a part of their adventure on the NASCAR circuit.
Team PVT will definitely be there. I tell you, we will definitely be there for you. We've got a lot of people. I've got a lot of new ones, and I'm even starting to get some of my full kind. I have a lot of guys that do kickboxing and MMA, but I'm making them go to the sport rider competitions and get more into the, you know, the traditional stuff and get their traditional stuff done. Even next year we'll have even more people. But, you know, once they sent me down here, you know, we have the place in Virginia and North Carolina, but without me being there to keep everybody pumped up, we haven't got as many students out of there yet. But Master Krotz and my daughter, they're working people, getting them going. But now that I'm down here training the military, and the people in the town realize that our school is open to civilians also, now we're starting to see a huge influx come in, because before everybody was just thinking, well, I'm not going in there, they just train just the military, you know. So everybody was kind of intimidated. But now they're starting to realize, oh, wait, they train kids and everybody in there. So now we're starting to get an influx. So now we're going to really be able to start picking it up and, you know, bringing more and more people out, you know, to the competition. But we got a bunch to bring this year anyway. And so we're going to bring them up, but next year we hope to bring even more. But, yeah, like you say, that's a beautiful, beautiful place. Go ahead, sir.
I said, you know, I love that, because every year for the last 15 years, we've been lucky. If you come to the nighttime show, you notice we always open the nighttime show with the all-service color guards from the White House. And people take that for granted, but it's very difficult to get those guys. It's very, very difficult to get them to come out. You have to put in real early. And for the last 10 years, they've come every year because they love the martial arts. And so if there's any way, they've got to leave another gig. And if you've never seen those boys march up on that stage, it'll swell your heart up. It'll swell you. So we hope we'll get them this year. I can't say come, you'll see them, because you know what? You always have to put in. We never know they're coming until 2 weeks before the event. And they've always come out for it. That kind of thing.
I can vouch for you for that. Being military, working with the military and all that stuff, I can't even get the color guard to come out. So I can tell you how hard it is to get them guys, because they stay so booked up. You know, it is hard to get the color guard, you know, to be able to come out to the event. So, you know, if you've had them out there, you know, you've done good. Like you say, because it is a hard thing to do.
And this is the crew that marches, that opens up for every event at the White House. So, you know, they're really, you know how pumped up I am about that. I always pinch myself and say, how do we get these guys to come? But they change up and they come back and watch the show because they love seeing what we do and all that good stuff.
Yeah. Well, they get a good show, because I tell you, they some talented martial artists out there. I'm just glad that I can still, you know, get out on the floor and just be a part of it with them, because there's some amazing, amazing martial artists out there. Like I say, I'm just glad to be able to get out there and be a part of it. But before we run out of time, I want to play something that Professor Gary Lee likes to call the Legends Name Game. So I'm just going to throw some names out at you, and just like a 2-minute sparring match, you can just rattle off some good stuff about this person, and then we'll move on to the next. So our first legend I'm going to throw out there at you is Mr. Billy Blank.
You know, Billy, everybody knows Billy as the Taibo man, because, you know, he just became huge at Taibo. And I even got to the point, there were so many cardio kickboxing things going on around the country, people started saying, well, you know, he's not a real martial artist. He's just that guy that gets out there and does the cardio kickboxing to music and dance. I had to straighten some folks out and say, guys, Billy Blanks was one of the baddest guys that ever put on a pair of on a gi and jumped in the ring. Don't get it twisted.
Exactly. And I tell you what else, he was a great actor. His movies, he'd done some good movies.
Yes,
you
he
know,
did.
I even wish he'd have done even more movies, because he really was, you know, good at that.
and a very nice human being. If you ever get a chance to see him outside the ring, in the ring, I can't tell you, he's going to take your head off. But outside the ring, a seriously good person.
Yeah. Okay. That, well, now the next one, Mr. Steve Nasty Anderson.
You know, I owe my promoter's career probably to Steve Nasty Anderson, along with Linda Denley and a few folks like that, because in the early days when I first started my tournament, I'd just been a competitor. I gave it at a little high school. It wasn't at the National Harbor and all that. It was at my local high school. You could get maybe 500 people in there all together. And he showed up. He was Nasty Anderson, Steve Nasty, the number one fighter in the country. And I think Linda Denley was number one also. And they showed up for my tournament. And within a couple of years, people start saying, you got to pay attention to this guy because the big guys come out. And I tell him to this day, he was one of the greatest fighters, one of the greatest legends of sports karate. I mean, a lot of folks have done a lot of things before him. But he was one of the big, big, big names in our generation, and we owe him a lot. He's going through some changes now with health and all like that, and we're all – and I'm going to take this time to say everybody pray for him. Pray for the brother because, you know, we all get up there and we need a little prayer. But
we'll definitely keep him in our prayers.
Everybody owes a lot to that young man. And the California Blitz, that was Nasty Anderson.
Yeah. Well, we will definitely, definitely keep him in our prayers and add him to our prayer list and keep him in there because, like you say, he is also one of the legends that Professor Gary Lee, you know, tries to keep their history protected. And he definitely has a good legacy. I mean, you know, he was a phenomenal fighter. And like you say, he really brought a different element to the martial arts fight world when he got in there, that's for sure. All right, this next fella is – oh, yeah, go ahead if you got something.
Oh, no, I'm just saying, you know, Nasty Anderson. There ain't much more to say about him.
Yeah,
he's
I hear you.
Go ahead.
Yep, and this other guy's no joke either, Mr. Jeff Smith.
We called him the DC Bomber around here. He was one of those guys that was known as one of June Reed's top fighters. He had a lot of them, Pat Borden, John Borden, Larry Conant. You could just go on and on. He created so many great fighters, but probably one of the best that he ever produced and one with longevity was Jeff Smith, the DC Bomber. He came to DC. People don't know. They know him as the DC Bomber. He was always fighting out of DC, out of June Reed's stable. But he actually came from Texas. He was one of a crew of guys that June Reed was originally, when he came to America, he was teaching, going to school and what have you, in Texas. And when he moved to D.C. to bring his whole operation up here, he reached back into Texas to bring up some of those amazing fighters out of Texas. I don't even want to start naming those because there's so many I'll end up getting killed because I'll lift somebody out. But he brought up Jeff Smith and Larry Conahan and the Worley brothers and I think Franks and a bunch of guys like that. And they came up here and turned June Reed into an international known fighting operation, not just a taekwondo forms and kata, because they had the great John Chung's and Charlie Lee's and Carmichael's. There's just so many of them, but Jeff Smith was the standout. If there was a leader in that whole group to lead that whole June Reed club into fame and fortune, it was Jeff Smith. And again, he went on to just break every rule. I mean, he was the first one to fight on that contact in that boxing match on the ticket with Muhammad Ali to have a full contact kickboxing match on that ticket. He fought everybody, all comers, and beat the best. So I got nothing to say about my friend Jeff Smith. I still run with him. I still hang out with him. Again, I hate to say this, but because we're fighters and people sometimes get the wrong impression, because we're a fighter and you see him in the ring and they're knocking people out, he is one of the kindest, most nice people that you'll ever run into, will do anything for you. And so I'm going to tell that side of it because they can Google and see all the great fights he had and all the great things he did. But know that this guy was one of the gentlemen of our time in martial arts, and he sets the stage for what modern martial arts is, what we call full contact kickboxing now.
Right. All right. Well, this next one, Miss Linda Denley.
That Texas jail she'd do after she would punch somebody in the face was just notorious. She brought, again, there was always great fighters out there, and if I start naming the names, everything from Arlene Lemus, it was great ones out there, just everywhere. But Linda Denley stood out among all of them. She was, in my opinion, and again, I go back on the circuit, traveling the circuit in the early 70s and right up through the 80s, 90s, and now. And in my opinion, it was one of the greatest names in women's sport karate had to be Linda Denley. I mean, whether it was the Budweiser team or whatever great team that Chuck Merriman brought out, she was on it, and she was considered the person to beat. If you wanted to make a career, you didn't even have to beat her. Just do well against her, and you could go home and you had bragging rights, because she was a hard woman to beat. She was but a lady warrior, if there ever was one. And she was, again, I like to tell the other side of them, because you can go on and Google her, and just by telling you how great she was, you can find out all the great things she did in martial arts. But I will tell you that two things. She was a lady throughout, still is, and she always, always loved her some Texas. I mean, she would tell people.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I can tell you this. I was lucky enough to get to watch her singing Tina Turner songs at Professor Gary Lee's roast, one of his roasts. So that was entertaining, to say the
and
least.
She looks a little bit like her. I do believe she's probably got some Tina Turner in her family tree somewhere, because she looks a lot like, and I could be wrong, but I'm going to say it anyway. I believe she told me that she has some relations to Tina, but she looks like her and strong.
Yeah, she's
always strong.
Yeah, she's strong and was still getting down. It was awesome.
It's something. And so she, again, she kind of put women fighters on the map. I mean, it got to the point where it wasn't a side dish. We came to see the men fight, and oh yeah, there's women. Their folks started coming to see matches between her and Arlene Lemus, or her and Peaches, or her and whoever she was fighting. That was the match of the night for the ladies, and a lot of times match of the night for everybody.
Right. Well, this next lady, I mean, she's phenomenal. Miss Cynthia Rothrock.
Well, you know, being a kung fu guy, you know, I know her. I traveled with her when she first started on the national circuit. I was the guy and one of the guys, and she was one of the few women that were out there doing Chinese style or Kung Fu style, if you will. And so I got a chance to do a lot of road trips, long road trips, and spend a lot of time working out with her. And so I knew her from the beginning of her career. Again, I watched her rise to being from actually having a background in karate and going into Kung Fu, and becoming one of the most talented kung fu stylists ever come out on the circuit. Again, always, just like Linda Denley, always classy, always well-dressed, but one of the sharpest, hardest competitors you'd ever go up against. And, of course, she did something amazing, because she was also able to transition that career into an amazing movie career in Hong Kong. And very few folks have been able to do that. To this day, she's still known as Lady Dragon. In Hong Kong, and
yeah.
I did a few movies in Hong Kong myself. And when I went over there, I did movies with the Five Deadly Venoms and those guys like that. And the first thing they would ask me about, "You from America?" I said, "Yeah." Do you know Cynthia Rothrock? I said, "Yeah, I know Cynthia Rothrock." And again, she and could fight. Again, we know about the weapons and the forms, but let me tell you, I knew her earlier than most folks did. Again, I've been around a long time, and I can remember when she'd be out there throwing down. So for those folks to say, well, all she was a dancer, and no, she could dance in the square ring also.
She's a very, very sweet person. She up at Mr. Goldberg's event, she had got her a new camera. And you know, I normally have the striped beard and, you know, everybody calls me Wolverine, but she got the new camera. She runs over and has these people taking my picture because she wanted to take a picture with me, you know. And everybody was like, well, who is that? She said, you don't know who? That's Wolverine. And I was like, what? Yeah, he is the Wolverine. That's who Wolverine is. And she was like, but I, she said, it, because they thought it was weird, because instead of me coming up and saying, hey, can I get a picture with you? And had it, she runs and gets her camera, and she says, I just got a new camera, Wolverine. I want to take a picture with you with my new camera. So she was taking pictures of us with her new camera, and everybody was like, what is going on right here with this? But she's very sweet, and like you say, yeah, she's phenomenal.
Yeah, but, you know, you always stood out in the crowd. Everybody's cleaner than the Board of Health up at Goldberg's event. So when you stand out at his event, you know you're doing something.
Yeah, yeah, that's for sure. Well, with this accent and me being up north like that, it don't take, all I got to do is open my mouth and say something, and I'm standing out.
But this
southern accent I can't shake. So when I'm up competing up in the northern tournaments, a lot of times I just have to go up and just kind of, you know, do my kata, just jump in and do it. But, always show me love up there. I've always done real well at your tournament. I look forward to it coming up. Been working hard, getting ready. Like I say, I'm having to train around the injury. But you know what? That ain't going to stop me because I'm not missing this competition. This is one of my most favorite competitions to go to. So we definitely going to make sure that we go to it. And that's a fact.
Well, you know, the U.S. Capitol Classics always wants to see you. Always wants to see you in town.
Well, we love it. We love going there. And I've been there so much now. I even have my very own person that checks me in. I've got their number. I call straight to her. I tell her what we need, when we're coming, and she takes care of everything and gets it all done for us. So, you know, it's just like, to me, it's almost like going home, because I go in there and I've made so many friends up there. That I just go in and I just kind of feel like, you know, man, you know, here's my friend. Yeah, hey, we're here. And check-in's quick, done. We're up to our room. I mean, you know, it's awesome. Then we get to come down to the floor and see everybody and then, you know, get started competing and then, you know, walk down and get some ice cream on the boardwalk there. And it's just a great time. You know, if there's anybody listening that's not been to the U.S. Capitol Classic, it is definitely a competition that is Wolverine approved. Because it is awesome, and we're gonna do a kicking it with a Wolverine while I'm there too.
Hey, we got to do that, man, and know that whenever you come to the Capitol Classics, you and the other crew, you are home. You are home, far as we're concerned, and anything we can do to make it even smoother for you, you know, we're gonna do that.
Yeah, I'll say we love it, and you've always been, you know, outstanding. And that's why I, you know, want to tell these people. People don't realize in the martial arts world what a camaraderie there is. And like I say, what a bond there is, because we don't care about anything else. Our main concern is good martial arts. That's what we're more concerned about. We don't get involved with everything else. We're more concerned about good martial arts, good quality martial arts, having a good time, and seeing who's going to raise the bar and who's going to try to jump it.
That's right. Join a martial arts school and see the world. That's what I always say.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, that's what I tell a lot of my students. It's the best time they'll ever have because, you know, I have a lot of people that will say, well, I don't have the money to go. And I'm like, well, you're doing this and you're doing that and you're doing this, and you're going to spend that much money on the weekend going out to eat around your own town, and you see everything there. Why not go somewhere else and do it? You know, it's worth it, and it you build lifelong friends that are all over the world. And, you know, my grandfather told me one time, he said, it's better to make a friend than a dollar. And he said, you need friends all over the world because you never know where you're going to be and when you're going to need somebody. You know, and being a martial artist, I feel pretty confident that I could go to about any state in the United States and pick up the phone and call somebody if I fell on hard times and say, hey, I need somebody to come, and there would be somebody that they could send out to get me, because that's just the way martial artists are. And Washington,
well, you know,
D.C., I feel like I got a home there, yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. We're the biggest fraternity in the world, martial artists. If if you go anywhere and you're a black belt or just a martial artist, you're always going to have somebody you can reach out to. I guarantee you that.
Yep, I guarantee it. Well, Mr. Brown, it has been awesome, as always, talking to you, sir. I love getting to talk to you and hang out with you. Most of the times at competition, I just have to grab a quick hug on the way by because I'm running to divisions and you're repping divisions. And so it gets kind of chaotic, but at least we do get to see each other and say hi and hang out for a minute usually. But, you know, it's always great to see and great to talk to you. And I'm going to bring you up one of our I'm going to try to make sure I remembered and put it down because I can't remember what I had for breakfast and I ate the same thing every day. That's what I tell everybody. But I'm going to try to make sure I bring up one of the No Room for Racism shirts for you.
So you can have that
up in D.C.
I'd love for you to bring it in. And before we get off the phone, let me not get off without saying that say hello and give a hug to my brother Gary Lee. Let him know that we're thinking about him, and he's always in our prayers and in our minds, and he's done so much for this sport, for this art, for this thing that we love, that we will always be there for him. So anything I can do, he knows.
And we definitely appreciate that, and I know he heard you, sir, and I know that I told him that you and I had talked at the Battle of Atlanta, and you said that, you know, that in your words, he was the keeper of the flame, and he was shining everybody else's light and keeping the history before it was cool, before it was popular.
Yes.
And you're exactly right.
Now, he's always done it for us, and I, for one, is going to make sure that we keep his name out there. So, brother, take your time. Get well. Don't rush to come back because we're waiting right here for you.
Yeah, we got it, and we all do love him, and I appreciate you saying that because – you know, he's a big part of my life. I love him to death, and you know, and he's strong. He's going to stay right there because he's got a lot of stuff. He's too vivacious, I'll say, to just lay completely down. You know, he's got so much he's got to do, and he's got it in his head, and he's going to get it done. You know, that's
all
for
right,
sure.
Buddy, you didn't say he's ornery. That's the only thing. So we'll go along with all of that. That's my man.
Yeah. Mr. Brown, it's been awesome, sir. I love you to death. Look forward to seeing you here in a few weeks. It's going to be a great time up there. And I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to be on our show.
Brother, I appreciate everything you guys do, and we appreciate you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, now, good night.
Good night, sir. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Mr. Dennis Brown of the U.S. Capital Classic and China Open. His event is coming up on the 9th and 10th of August. It's a great event if you can get out there to it in Washington, D.C., right there in Maryland at the Gaylord. But don't forget, the 26th and 27th September, Professor Gary Lee's Celebrity Roast and Kata Wars. And then turning right around November 1st and 2nd in Sam's Town at the Sam's Town Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada, and to John Natividad roast. So two Hawaiians going to be roasted back-to-back. There's going to be a lot of pineapple and ham and stuff going on and all that kind of good stuff, but it's going to be a great time. Both these gentlemen are amazing, amazing individuals, and we look forward to it. And we look forward to many more. And we'd just like to say from Professor Gary Lee and the Wolverine, we look forward to talking with you again next Tuesday. And we want to thank you from the bottoms of our heart for letting us come into your homes again on this Tuesday. We're very humbled by that. And we're humbled at our guests that love getting to come on and talk to us because we love each and every one of them because they do such a great job in the world, in the martial arts world and in the world in general. And until next time, we'll see you. Stay strong. Keep your kicks up. Oos.